Hi, David here, and welcome back to the podcast where we are looking at mediumship and life in spirit through the automatic writings of the early 20th century medium James Paget. Today we're going to look at a message that James received from his daughter Nita towards the end of December 1918. If you listened to the last episode, 1.19, you'll remember that we looked at a brief message from Nita in October 1918, really just letting James know that she was there and looking forward to the chance to write to him properly. That first message from Nita was followed up by one from his wife, Helen, reminding James that a rapport could only be established with him by people in spirit, including Helen herself, if James kept his focus on them, kept his love for them in mind rather than letting it fade from his awareness. Helen made the point that there was a period during which she had simply not been able to get through to him to write anything. And she told him quite clearly how much this had left her feeling disappointed. So we might hope that James would do his best to act on Helen's advice. However, this slightly longer message from his daughter Nita comes a full 2 months, slightly longer in fact, after her initial one. The message begins, "I am here, Nita. I am so glad that I can write to you again. It has been a long time since you let me write, and I have been so anxious to tell you of my progress and love. Why, Daddy, I thought that you loved me so much that you would not keep me waiting so long to tell you of my love and how happy I am. Mother has told me that you were not in condition to receive my message and that I must wait until conditions are different, which I understand." So although Nita has finally found an opportunity to get through to her father, she has had to wait a while. James has not fully acted on the advice Helen gave him, quite possibly still struggling with his grief at the loss of his daughter. I've seen this many times over the years with people in the spiritualist community, even with mediums. Although we might know that we are here to live this physical life just as much as anyone else, the disappointment of losing a loved one still hits hard. It's very common for people to ask questions like, "Why didn't you warn me this would happen?" or "Why didn't you protect me from this?" As to protection, there are ways in which people in spirit can help us, but they cannot shield us from experiences which are simply part of being in this world. Death is part of life. Eventually, the suit of clothes wears out, and we need to cast it aside. Some people that happens sooner than we might want it to, or think it should. A mature attitude to life accepts this and knows that we can cope with these things, and knows that some knowledge of the afterlife helps us in this. On the question of being warned in advance, we've seen that the future is not fixed. So although people in spirit may be able to project outcomes on the basis of a fuller awareness than we have as embodied mortals, there is still an ethical issue as to whether they tell us of things that are very likely to happen, but which we cannot change. On the whole, they will not tell us, because this simply spoils our time between the telling and the event. Had we not known, and had we not been spending our time worrying, it is possible that that time might have held some of the most beautiful moments of our lives, giving us some of our most valuable memories to look back upon in time to come. Warning people and making them fearful can end up being a way of robbing them of riches they might have had with them for the rest of their lives in this world and into the next. When it comes to things that can be avoided with appropriate action, it is different, and a warning might be entirely appropriate and much appreciated. But with the big ticket items that are going to happen anyway, the kindest thing is to be there to help pick up the pieces. But these are lessons it takes time to learn, and James is clearly struggling in the months after his daughter's death, which is making it tricky at times for his people in spirit to connect with him as they have been used to doing. Yet Nita has this opportunity, and she makes good use of it. She continues her message to James, saying, "Now I want to tell you of my progress and how the love of God has changed my soul, so that now I am in a sphere from where I may soon expect to go into the celestial heavens where Mother is. When I first came to spirit life, as you know, Mother met me and took me in her arms and was so loving and tender with me that I had no fear of the change in my condition. With her were other beautiful and loving spirits who gave me their love and assured me that now I would soon find a home that was so different from my home on earth and would experience a happiness that I had never before felt. I was not afraid and did not want to go with my body again, as I was told so many newly arrived spirits desire to do when they first come over. I was satisfied from the first, and how could I not help being so when I had such a beautiful mother to enfold me in her arms and assure me that never more would I have to undergo the cares and disappointments of an earth life? How glorious this was, and how I thought that if heaven should have all spirits as lovely and grand as was here, what a happy place it must be. Mother was with me for quite a while, and also Grandmother Paget, who was also beautiful and bright, and who told me that I had nothing to fear, but to believe that I was truly in the spirit world, and later I should find everything to make me happy and content." So Nita is relating to James just how beautiful and full her entry into her new life was, and how reassuring and encouraging everyone was. This encouragement is important and usual, because as we have seen, this initial phase of welcome has to be followed by each soul facing its own past, which means that those who first greet us cannot simply hold us in their love indefinitely. As Nita goes on to say, "How badly I felt when the parting came, for you must know that this parting was necessary. Mother lived in a higher sphere to which I could not go, and she could not remain with me all the time, as I wanted her to do. She told me that she would be with me quite often to comfort and love me, that under the law I would have to go to the place that my soul fitted me for, and from thence I would have to pray and work for my own progress, and that she could not determine for me where I should live, and that my own soul's condition would fix my place, and so, as I say, we had to part. I soon found myself in some darkness and suffering, and did not quite understand why this should be so, or what was the cause of my darkness. But after a little while, I found that my recollection of my earth life came to me in wonderful clearness, and that my conscience was causing me some suffering. I was awfully lonesome and wanted my mother so much, but found out that I had to bear my own burdens and obey the laws that fixed my condition. I know you would want me to be with you, if you could, to comfort and love me and protect me from my sufferings. But this was impossible, for this law that I speak of knows no forgiveness until it is satisfied. It is stern from the necessity of things, because only through its workings can a soul be made purer and enabled to progress from its first condition. But thanks to my dear mother, I had with me the hope that such condition was only for a moment, and that soon the love would come to me and take me out of the workings of the law, and set me free, and enable me to get into the light and more happiness. Oh, how I prayed and prayed for this love, and tried to believe that it would come to me, and dispel the darkness and recollections of the evil things that I had done and thought when on earth. Mother and grandmother prayed with me, and encouraged me with their sympathy and love, and the assurance that this love would come to me, and that God would answer my prayers. So although this seems harsh, the simple truth is that each of us must face who we are when we pass to spirit. And Nita is no exception to this, any more than you or I or anyone else can be. It is clear from what Nita says that she is in a place of her own making. And when I say place, I mean it also in the sense of someone saying, I'm not in a good place right now. But this is still a place where she can be reached and helped by those who love her. The door hasn't been shut to that extent. And Nita clearly tells us of her inclination to pray for divine love. She doesn't tell us in any great detail what that is, but she is clear as to the difference it has made to her. What she says next is very striking. On one occasion, when I had been praying with all my soul, and when my faith seemed stronger, there came to me a beautiful spirit, all tender and loving, and said, My daughter, God will hear your prayers and soul longing, and call you to higher service, and brighter surroundings, and greater happiness. I know that God never fails to answer the prayer of an earnest soul. And besides, you are the very child of his love and care, and nothing pleases him so much as when his children call on him for his love and help. And I am praying for you also, and my faith makes it certain that you will soon receive the answer. Only let your very soul breathe out its longings for his love. Oh, how beautiful and grand this spirit was, and how tender his love, which seemed to flood all my surroundings, and to give me such hope and encouragement that I felt that I surely must be a little weary in brain while he was talking. He then told me that he was Jesus, and was so glad that I had come to the spirit world with so much love surrounding me, and also told me how he loved me and sympathized with me, and wanted me to get out of my darkness and into the light. I cannot express to you how I felt as he talked to me, and how I wondered if he were not really God. But he could not be God, for he was so human and humble, and seemed to think that he was a mere child of the Father of whom he spoke. When leaving me, he said that he would come again and talk to me of God and his love, and blessed me and said, You are a child of God and just as dear to him as I am, and he loves you just as much as he does me. Believe in his great love and you will be happy. Well, Daddy, can you imagine what my feelings were and how much I was helped? I will not stop to tell you now of how this love came into my soul, little by little. until at last it seemed to fill my whole being. Oh, how happy I became, and how beautiful my surroundings appeared, and what beautiful, bright spirits I found myself in an association with. I was satisfied, and my home became to me the most glorious and happiest place imaginable. My new home surpasses all conception of man, and would satisfy the most hopeful and extravagant man as his house of bliss. As I continued to progress, and more of the love came into my soul, and strange as it may seem to you, as I rose higher and higher, grandmother was with me so very much, and she became more beautiful and glorious than ever before. I understand now why that was. As she came to me in the different spheres, and as I rose higher, she approached nearer her home, and took on more of the beauty and glory that are really hers in her sphere. I am now happy beyond expression, and love you with a greater love than I ever had on earth, and know what love really is. And one of the happiest things that I now have before me is to wait until you come, and to meet you with all my love and goodness. Oh, Daddy, won't it be glorious when you come over, and we can all be together in love? You thought that you had a beautiful Helen on earth, but when you come to us and see her in her glory, your very eyes will be dazzled at her appearance. We are with you a great deal, loving you and trying to help you, and you must believe that we will never leave you till you reach the heaven where we now are. So, Daddy, believe that I am your little Nita, and that I write you and love you with all my heart and soul. Your loving daughter, Nita. One of the challenging aspects of the Paget messages is that Jesus and other biblical figures, among others, feature in them. This is difficult because that particular individual has been placed on such a high pedestal through history that he has ended up being equated with God. The sad thing is that this just gets in the way of what the man himself wants to say, because the possibility of communication from him just seems impossible or absurd. One very natural question that is reasonable is as to the likelihood that someone so famous would personally be involved with James Paget's family. In terms of numerical chance, it is extremely unlikely. So is there a reason why it is happening? It becomes clear from the Paget messages that there was a great work to be done through using James as a medium of communication, because he has the right characteristics for the work. Not spirituality, simply the characteristics that make him a useful instrument for the particular information to be passed through him. That's rare. It's extremely rare. But there is still a hurdle. Traditional perspectives on who and what Jesus is are an obstacle in themselves. The involvement of James Paget's family in the project is the means of overcoming that, at least so far as James himself is concerned. If these messages are to be delivered and disseminated more widely, James himself needs to be helped to accept them, enough at least to do the actual writing of them, even if he still has some questions in his mind. If he can build up trust that his family and friends are writing to him, They can then be the ones to introduce these more elevated spirits. It's the messages from the ordinary folks, James knows, that give credibility to the messages from the famous and perhaps unlikely ones. It's their testimony that these famous names are real people whom they have met that helps James accept and go forward with the messages from his more famous communicators. Showing this is one of the things this first series of messages has been about. It has largely been messages from James's relatives relating their experiences in spirit, which have included frequent mentions of divine love and of having met a number of people who feature in the New Testament, who have something valuable to teach and who want to correct the record as to what that is, as well as sharing it with James's family members so they can know it as a matter of experience and also tell James about it so that he, in turn, can pass it on. To follow on from this episode, I'm going to create two different video and podcast streams. One stream will continue to develop our knowledge of mediumship and life in spirit by looking at messages from friends and acquaintances of James. Also, some people in spirit who were completely unknown to him during their earth lives. These messages are from a whole range of people, soldiers, politicians, religious reformers, thinkers, ancient spirits from other cultures, including some whose names are remembered in Jewish scripture, the Old Testament. This will let us look at a wider range of experiences from people who often had no idea at all as to what to expect when they passed over, and to see something of how they coped with it all. The other series will pick up on the repeated mentions we've seen as to the importance of divine love and the difference it makes to the mortal soul when it is touched by that love. Exploring and understanding this aspect of spirit is central to the work undertaken through Padgett, and it is important that we start looking at it. This will explain the involvement of people in spirit, such as Stephen, Luke, Barnabas, and Jude, whom we have heard from already, as well as Jesus himself, described by Nita in the message we looked at in this episode. So this episode completes Series 1, and the next one will be the first in Series 2, Episode 2.1. And we'll look at a message from a figure we've already met, Professor Joseph Salyards, Padgett's old law professor. So I very much hope you'll join me for that. And that brings us to the end of this episode. So as always, thank you for listening, and I'll be with you soon. Take care in the meantime.